wasn't coming back, which meant that Arnold himself had to go into the computer code and try to figure out what had gone wrong. It was going to be a painstaking job. He'd need to be calm and careful. "Why don't you go downstairs to the cafeteria," Arnold said, "and get a cup of coffee. We'll call you when we have more news." "I don't want a Malcolm effect here," Hammond said. "Don't worry about a Malcolm effect," Arnold said. "Will you let me go to work?" "God damn you," Hammond said. "I'll call you, sir, when I have news from Muldoon," Arnold said. He pushed buttons on his console and saw the familiar control screens change. Stroke Jurassic Park main module stroke. Stroke call libs. Include biostat.sys. Include sysrom.vst. Include net.sys. Include power.module. Stroke initialize. Arnold was no longer operating the computer. He had now gone behind the scenes to look at the code, the line-by-line instructions that told the computer how to behave. Arnold was unhappily aware that the complete Jurassic Park program contained more than 500,000 lines of code, most of it undocumented, without explanation. Wu came forward. "What are you doing, John?"
"Checking the code."
"By inspection? That'll take forever."
"Tell me," Arnold said. "Tell me."
The road. Muldoon took the curve very fast, the jeep sliding on the mud. Sitting beside him, Gennaro clenched his fists. They were racing along the cliff road, high above the river, now hidden below them in darkness. Muldoon accelerated forward, his face was tense.
"How much farther?" Gennaro said.
2, maybe 3 miles.
Ellie and Harding were back at the visitor center. Gennaro had offered to accompany Muldoon. The car swerved.
"It's been an hour," Muldoon said, "an hour, with no word from the other cars."
"But they have radios," Gennaro said.
"We haven't been able to raise them," Muldoon said.
Gennaro frowned.
"If I was sitting in a car for an hour in the rain, I'd sure try to use the radio to call for somebody."
"So would I," Muldoon said.
Gennaro shook his head.
"You really think something could have happened to them?"
"Chances are," Muldoon said, "that they're perfectly fine, but I'll be happier when I finally see them. Should be any minute now."
The road curved, then ran up a hill. At the base of the hill, Gennaro saw something white lying among the ferns by the side of the road.
"Hold it," Gennaro said, and Muldoon braked.
Gennaro jumped out and ran forward in the headlights of the jeep to see what it was. It looked like a piece of clothing, but there was... Gennaro stopped. Even from 6 feet away, he could see clearly what it was. He walked forward more slowly.
Muldoon leaned out of the car and said, "What is it?"
"It's a leg," Gennaro said.
The flesh of the leg was pale blue-white, terminating in a jagged, bloody stump where the knee had been. Below the calf, he saw a white sock and a brown slip-on shoe. It was a kind of shoe Ed Regis had been wearing. By then, Muldoon was out of the car, running past him to crouch over the leg.
"Jesus!"
He lifted the leg out of the foliage, raising it into the light of the headlamps, and blood from the stump gushed down over his hand. Gennaro was still 3 feet away. He quickly bent over, put his hands on his knees, squeezed his eyes shut, and breathed deeply, trying not to be sick.
"Gennaro!"
Muldoon's voice was sharp.
"What? Move! You're blocking the light!"
Gennaro took a breath and moved. When he opened his eyes, he saw Muldoon peering critically at the stump.
"Torn at the joint line.